The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 119. And Dr. Joe and I are calling this Future State. And I've already welcomed you into the store, Dr. Joe, but you know the routine. You've heard John and I. Let's get right to it. What was your favorite part of the show? Oh, perfect.
All of it. Had a good time. It was a lot of fun talking.
Yeah, it's a long one. If people haven't noticed the timestamp, we got 2.5 hours. I don't think there's a second that we're like, we don't know what to do or what to say, because we had tangents galore. We talk, obviously, Future State. We had a great conversation about that. That's towards the end, but we have, you know, differing opinions on it. But I think we actually came to common ground as well. I thought that was a great conversation. Obviously, WandaVision. We wrapped the whole thing up with Kryptonite Key Club. Spoilers at the end. And that was a great conversation about the MCU, about WandaVision, about everything that's going on there. And you had some books. You had some books that you're talking about. And, I mean, there was a good half hour, 45 minutes, where we talked about all the podcasts you're on, too.
Well, yeah. And there's more to come. I think I'm going to do a Rizzoli and Isles podcast. A Bluey podcast, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, so we got a few more cooking.
Yeah, so we have a huge show to get to. Dr. Joe sitting in for the man off in the tunnel of despair, having a good time. So let's get the listeners into the store so they can enjoy the scintillating comic book conversation.
All right.
Hey, John. Oh, John. Where's John?
I think John's in the tunnel of love.
Yes, John is in the tunnel of love. So, Dr. Joe, we got the store to ourselves here at Friendly Arkham Comics and Games. Nice of him to let us in. But how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. That voice you hear, of course, is our good friend, Dr. Joe the Batcracker from, well, you list the names. I'm tired of this long list of accomplishments you have.
Well, you know, I got nothing but time, baby. So, you can find, I'm.
See, it's hard for you, too.
I do TLDR with my wonderful co-host, Nick, and I do I've Heard It Both Ways, which is a psych rewatch podcast with my other good pal, Billy D. We are, of course, part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse, and I occasionally play some video games as well.
Yeah, occasionally. Yeah. Occasionally. Your wonderful co-host, what are we, on the dating game?
You're giving these nice pleasantries to all your co-hosts. I am this ogre in between two hunks.
Yeah.
You know, they are both very, very good looking dudes, and I am just this hobbit right in the middle.
Yeah. Well, you are the Stein hoisting champion. 2 years running.
2 years running. Yeah. And by the time we were able to get back to it, I might be too old.
It's a 3 year reign because you haven't been able, nobody has taken the championship from you.
That is
so
true.
So you're still on
true.
A 3 year reign here. So. Good luck to you on that. Probably going to be a 4 year reign the way things are going. So, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, depending on when you're listening to this, just finished up the latest issue of TLDR, where I talked about Jeff Lemire's Sentient from TKO Studios.
Yep.
That was an absolutely tremendous book. I'm surprised I hadn't heard about it or read it sooner. It was really, really, just a fantastic book. And, Nick had talked about, Saga, mm-hmm. you know, by Brian K. Vaughan, which is, something I've been meaning to read. I haven't read, so it was really great to hear him talk about it.
Cool. Cool. That's, you guys do a great job over there. You break it down. You each break down like an entire like trade, right? Every week.
Yeah.
It's pretty
yeah.
much a trade every week. And then of course you go through the weekly books and stuff and what you've read. And yeah. your show, we were saying it before, but your show is so tight. It's so like you're on and off in an hour and like you nail it. And like John and I are just like, nope. And that's why you're like, Nick asked you if you were nervous about coming on here. And we're like, no, why?
Just going to talk. Well, mostly the time constraint is because I don't know when my child is going to wake up from her nap. So we got to, you know, we got to keep it tight because she can get up at any moment. And then, you know, so we don't want to, you know, have, you know, just one of the co-hosts just randomly leave the show
right
in the middle of it.
Well, it's happened, you know. And it's happened. I mean, look, John's gone this week. We make do. We make do.
Yeah, we make do. He's living it up. Yeah, taking the night off.
I talked to him today. He's doing well. He's doing well. He's very much looking forward to tomorrow. If people listening have no idea what we're talking about, go and listen to last week's show. The first 10 minutes ought to fill you in.
Yeah, filled him in.
So. We'll get to some of our John and I's conversation a little bit later, but let's see. What do we got? What do you have going on in the news? Anything strike you this week that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I don't know if you want to talk about now. You want to talk about later? But WandaVision.
Yeah, we'll get to that in WandaVision. Tremendous. Yeah, we'll do that when we have a whole segment, Dr. Joe. You know that.
We have
the WandaVision music and everything. Don't cheat me out of my sounders.
I got to steal your thunder. Yeah. I got to steal your thunder. No, that was great. I can't wait to talk about that. It's been a busy week for me, so I've been a little bit out of the loop in terms of news this week.
Yeah, so let's start off with a little bit of bad news. Discussing Film said on Twitter earlier this week, Uncharted and Morbius are the latest films to get pushed to 2022. So
you're gonna kind of see this coming. Black Widow, I think it was also announced that it was getting pushed back again.
I heard the rumors that it is. I haven't seen that it actually. You know, kind of like this one here. That's the only reason I made note of this is like here we go. Is like we thought this was going to be a big year. We aren't even out of January, and they're already moving stuff out of the year. Yeah. And like you said, and like Black Widow is one of those that's, if it's been moved and I don't know, or the rumor, but at least, you know, it's just awful. It's like, here we go again.
And I don't think it's getting moved to next year. I think maybe it is. Maybe it's just getting moved back a couple of months. I can't remember, but Morbius doesn't surprise me. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love the character Morbius, and I think what Jared Leto's going to do is going to be great, but. You know, it's one of those things and maybe this was the issue with Wonder Woman. You know, I think if Wonder Woman 84 was all that, you know, if it was, because there was so much hype with it.
Yeah.
And the buildup was so much. I think if it was as good as we all thought it was going to be, they still would have released it originally right around it. I know they didn't want to go up against Endgame, but if you stand by your movie and you believe in your movie.
Right.
You release it.
Right.
Right? You wait a week or two, but you release it. And then, so maybe it gave them extra time, and they just had a hard time putting it together. I'm wondering if some of these releases, we all know the impact that COVID's had, especially in the film industry, but maybe, and this is the cynic in me, maybe it's like, okay, we'll push it back. We got to fix some things. It's not as good as we think it's coming out to be. And I just hope that when it does come out, it's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if they're. I see what you're saying, and I agree with you 100% on the Wonder Woman. And I had been saying that since before it came out that it's like, why didn't they just release it? What were they so afraid of? Obviously, I didn't have the frame of mind that it was going to be bad because, you know me, it's like name a movie I think is bad. Try and find one. Right.
Yeah.
So it's I didn't think that, but I agree with you 100% that if you stand by your movie is basically what you said. Now with Black Widow, I think they're just trying to get. I don't think they're changing it. I think they're just trying to hold out to get the most dollars because what you do here, even when. You know, Wonder Woman comes out in, you know, day and date, and HBO Max says we're going to do everything in 2021, day and date, it's streaming and all of that. it's everybody's nervous that that's going to shut the theaters down. But then you hear the more calm-minded people saying, this is just for this year. This isn't their plan. Warner Brothers doesn't want to do this. These places don't, because they know that the billions of dollars come from going to the movie theaters. You can't replicate that anywhere else. So with that frame of mind, you see what's going on with Black Widow and a lot of the Disney properties where they're like, we don't need to rush this. So they are, to your point about Wonder Woman, they are actually standing by their product. They're probably not changing it. They just know that it's that good that they don't want to waste it on a streaming service, because there's yet to be one to show you that, hey, you can make big bucks.
Right. But they're also going to run into the problem where people are going to start saying, screw it, I don't care. You know, you keep delaying, people are going to lose interest. Now, of course, it's a Disney property, it's a Marvel property. It's going to be a big deal when it releases.
Right.
But this past year has been such an anomaly, right? Where we were, literally where we were a year ago from today,
we just come off Rise of Skywalker.
Right. But COVID was just in its infancy. People are now, like, this is the time of year where people are panicking a little bit, but we had no idea what was going to come. And then you get through February, and then March is really when it hit the fan. And then it got worse, and then it got a little bit better, then it got worse again. And, you know, the vaccine, all this stuff is out, but we still don't know what's going to happen 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, even a year from now. We don't know where we're going to be.
Right.
You know, we're at a point where, you know, people are, you know, they're clamoring for entertainment. Black Widow was supposed to come out when?
Last May, right? I think. Last May.
Right. So we're going on a year that, you know, and at some point, it's easy for me to say, it's not my money, but like, you've got it. It's made. Take a wash. Put it out there. You know, hope that people are going to, it's going to up your subscription numbers, because the movie theaters could be shut down 2 months from now because some mutant strain could come in, and, you know, who knows?
Right.
Right.
But if I gave you $50 and said, come back to me in 2 months and I'll give you $200, or come back to me in a year and I'll give you like $1,000, what are you doing? Because that's actually kind of what the numbers are.
Right.
You know? But, so which one are you doing? Are you waiting a year for the $1,000, or do you need that $200 to make your rent? And I don't think Disney needs that money to make their rent.
Right.
And the interest will still be there. I'll still be there in a year to give you your $1,000.
People like you and I will be, right?
Well, that's the fan base.
yes and no. I mean, the people that are going to go to the theaters, that, you know, the kids that are going to, you know, like, there's so much more money to be made, obviously, by going to the theaters. It's $50 just for Megan and I to go
right
to the theater, you know, because it's now $25 a seat to sit in the Lux, and, you know, that's $50 right there and all, you know, so there's so much money to be had. But there is a point, I think, where people are just going to say, I don't care about it. We're expecting all of this stuff to tie in somehow.
Right.
And if all this other stuff is coming out, you know, Falcon, Winter Soldier, we've got WandaVision going on now. If it keeps getting pushed back while all this other stuff is coming out, it gets to a point where it's like, well, where does it fit in? Does it fit in? Do we need to care? The more you push it out, I think the interest won't be there. Whereas if it's been ready to go, you know, do something. I mean, I know the Mulan thing failed epically, you know, but if they could find a way, I mean, look what, you know, is happening now with HBO Max.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. It got me to buy HBO Max.
Right.
Right. So if you can, you know, find, but put it out, because I do think there is a point where people just aren't going to care about it, the hype or the anticipation around it, it's going to go down rather than go up. People are still going to watch it. People are still going to love it. But instead of like riding this, like right now, like with WandaVision, things are going up. When that ends and there's still a layoff and there's nothing else in between, people are going to be like, do I care? Does it tie in? That's just me. Right. Kind of how I kind of, you know, the cynical sort of approach to it. But, you know, Morbius and what was the other movie there?
Uncharted was that was the other movie, but Uncharted. That was listed there, but it's...
Yeah. And I feel like Uncharted was just like, it wasn't announced all that long ago. So the fact that
that's no big delayed, deal. You know, I was just, like I said, no I was just deal. More concerned with here we go again. And we thought that this was going to be the year of all the movies. I think more to your point is, if these get moved and continue to get moved, it's going to be harder and harder for the theaters to survive. Because if they save Black Widow and they save all these movies, which is what the movie theaters want you to do, so that they do have a big boost when they open back up, they might not be there when you open back up because they literally couldn't survive.
Right.
So, I mean, who knows? Who knows?
But I think when the theaters do open up, there's still going to be plenty of stuff. I mean, it's hard.
Oh, there will be.
It's really hard. You know, it's sort of like, it's one of those things where 2020 was such a dumpster fire and 2021, I think, is going to be very similar in the sense that we all want to get back to normal, right? We want to establish that normalcy again, but it probably isn't until 2022
that
happens.
I've been saying that.
You know what I mean?
I think so.
Like the kid, like kids going back to school, for example, like this school year and the end of last year, it was so screwed up for them. That it's probably not until, you know, next school, you know, fall that everyone's back to kind of being normal in school again. That's probably how it's going to be with the theaters and sort of everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think it's not going to be until 2022 because the numbers like last year went down in the summertime and they'll be cautious right up through the fall because that's when we spiked again. So they don't want to see that spike again. And if we stay flat through the fall, that's when they'll know that the vaccine's working. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, because if we all take the vaccine between now and June, and then the numbers go down in June, well, what happened last year in June? The numbers went down. Right. So how do we know that wasn't weather related? No. And they will be cautious because when it spikes, we all spiked again in the fall. So what happened? And they'll be looking for that. And if it doesn't happen, I think that's when we will have turned the curve, especially as a society. I think we'd all feel better. We'd be like, oh yeah, look at that. It didn't come back the way it did the year before. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. It's funny how all of this intertwines in our lives now. It's like, I mean, literally on this podcast a year ago, we were joking about masks.
Yeah.
And here we are a year later. And it's like, I wore my mask that I wear for work on the air once. And
I remember that.
And you're like, oh, this is funny. You don't need that. A month later, I was literally wearing that into a Dunkin' Donuts because that's the only mask I had on me to get in the door.
Yeah. Yeah, because you couldn't find them. Yeah, so I mean that's just my opinion. I think it's a fool's errand to try and think that we're gonna, you know, movies are going to release. We're going to be going back to the theaters in droves this year. So just put it out. You've got it. It's there. Like I know, like I said, it's easy for me to say take a wash, put it out.
Right.
But if you keep chasing, you know. Oh, well, the theaters are going to come out and then, oh, no, we got to delay it because we can't do this. It eventually, there's a point where people just are going to stop caring about the product, whether it's Black Widow or I feel like Morbius and Uncharted are a little bit different because those are
further
much
away.
Newer, and further away in general. And people have probably forgot about those things, you know.
Oh, we'll forget. And then when it comes out. We'll all be excited again.
But we've been waiting for Black Widow, because we were told that, especially when Disney Plus launched, we were going to have all these shows, and then we're going to kick off the next phase, and things were going to take off. And due to unforeseen circumstances, that's not the case. We're starting to get back into it now. But if they keep trying to chase, you know, the theaters and getting people back in the theaters, I think that's just for the rest of this year a losing battle.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see. We will see. Did you hear? Have you been paying attention to the Godzilla versus Kong conversations going on Twitter?
No, because none of these things interest me.
Oh, really? You don't like?
Oh! So the dong, the missing.
No,
the
no, missing not dong. That, not that. No, no, okay. I haven't talked about that. No, you're great.
I did see that on Twitter.
Oh, that you know, you got.
Where's Kong's dong? Yeah,
yeah. No, no. All of the people talking about how he's like King Kong has grown, and the different sizes over the years between all the different. Even Godzilla has grown in size and all these different things. And I find it so entertaining to read the threads, and you'll have all these people. It's like almost like a 10-to-1 thread of the people that'll be tearing it apart. And that like, it's so unrealistic that King Kong is this big, and you'll get 9 of those. And then the one guy going, we're talking about a gorilla and a giant lizard fighting on an aircraft carrier. And you're telling me the unrealistic part is their size? Because it doesn't match up, and you're like, oh my God. It's like the whole thing is made up, but then they focus on that one thing.
That one thing.
The continuity isn't there.
I haven't watched, Skull Island or I didn't watch Godzilla. I don't know. I was never much into these properties, and I don't know if it's my, it's my age, and I wasn't big into the old school, monster movies of the past. It probably, that the Matthew Broderick vehicle Godzilla in the 90s was so bad.
Not to me. I loved it. I had a blast, but I actually, for my home theater podcast, I'm doing Godzilla from 2014, which kicked off this series.
Yeah.
Right. And I had an absolute blast doing that, watching that movie, going through it, doing the podcast for that movie. It's just, I absolutely love these movies because, and I'm not super geeked out. Like, I don't know all the intricacies about, what sizes they all were in different times of history or whatever. But I just remember that on like a Saturday afternoon as a little kid, and Creature Double Feature would come on and it would be like, it's Godzilla. And it's like, do you even remember a TV guide? Do you remember reading a book, TV guide? Yeah, you're not that young. And it's like you'd see on the TV guide, like Godzilla was going to be on Saturday. And you'd be like, oh, Dad, can I stay in and watch this? Because Saturdays, you're going to be outside playing, So all right, I'll let you stay in and watch it. And just being glued to the TV and just watching. And it was ridiculous. You go back and watch those old films and they're like, you know why Godzilla has long arms?
For the puppet?
No, it was a man. It was a man in a suit.
Gotcha.
So it was just, that's why he walks the way he does, is because that's the way they designed the suit. So it was like, that's what that's why he looks the way he does. It's fantastic. And that's nowadays with all the special effects, they're lending themselves to the old, playing homage to the older movies, but they're giving you this ridiculous feature, ridiculous movie. And I love it. And I'm laughing at all the people that are just like, he's the wrong size. He's a freaking gorilla. What are you talking about?
They got a moth over here flying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know. Yeah. There's a three-headed monster and a gorilla too big. And you're upset about the gorilla too big. Okay. Got you. A little bit more Twitter conversation earlier today. Did you see our buddy Freddie from Indy Alley? Did you see he's finally on board and he's in the middle of binging Big Bang Theory?
Oh no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I just saw it today on Twitter. I actually commented back to him. He is loving Big Bang Theory. He's into season 3 now.
Oh boy.
And did you watch that?
I watched a little bit of it. I never really got into it. Would watch some episodes here and there. But yeah, I never like sat down and watched it all the way through.
Oh, I love it. Same thing. I've been watching that since day one. And I told him, I said, you're going to love it for its comics tie-in. There's a ton of comic tie-ins. There's a ton of comic guest stars that show up through there. Stan Lee's on there. He showed up one time, but there's a ton of people in there, even like smart people too, not just comic people, but a lot of comic cameos. But I always thought like just the show, John and I did a whole show on that year, like 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. We did a whole show when they ended their series, and even just the way the show was shot, I always thought watching that show, they thought they shot it like a comic book, because each, if you watch the show and look at the colors they're all wearing, all the characters are wearing bright, different colors. Like nobody ever wears the same colors. One will be in green, one in red, one in yellow, one in like blue or denim or something. But just the vibrancy of the show, I always thought it was like comic panels. And never mind all of the stuff in the background. Just watch the backgrounds of every single scene. It's all comics and everything. Of course, there's a comic book store in the show. But yeah, I'm sure Freddie's having a blast with it. I can't even remember why he said he just started it, but he's like, I just started it, and he's like, he can't stop. And then a bunch of people
got him riled up the other day.
What's that?
I was gonna say I got him riled up the other day. I told him we were gonna interview Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh yeah,
and, he lost his mind.
Are you? Or are you just
he's
busted
not a
on
fan?
Him? Huh?
No, I was just busting. I was just busting on him.
Yeah, because he doesn't like him, right?
No. Yeah. No, not at all.
That's what I thought. All right. Did you see or hear anything about Monsters at Work? They're having a TV series for sequel to Monsters, Inc. You haven't heard this?
Oh, really?
Yes. And
no, I haven't heard this.
In talks a while ago and confirmed. And I saw on Collider this week. Billy Crystal did an interview with them, and he said, yeah, it's still in the works. I think it got slowed down for COVID, if I remember right, reading the article. But him and John Goodman are back as, what is it, Mike and Sully? Is that the characters' names? I can't remember.
Yep.
They're back, and it's a TV series. So that should be really
That'd be
cool,
awesome.
Especially for you with Swaggins. Get back into that.
Oh yeah, she loves Monsters Inc. She's not a big fan of Monsters University. I tried putting that on for her, and she was like, "No, not for me." But love Monsters Inc. It's a great movie. So that would be right in all of our wheelhouses. I think we would sit down and watch that.
Cool. He said in one of his quotes I have here. It's coming up to the 20th anniversary in September. And, September. So maybe they were speculating that maybe this year we'd see the show for the 20th anniversary. So actually Collider said that the actual anniversary is in November, the 20th anniversary of the movie. So who knows?
20 years. Holy smokes.
I know, huh? Time flies. Well, speaking of 20 years, in September, it's going to be 20 years since the 9/11.
Yeah, jeez.
That hit me today. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But all right, let's get to something a little more fun here. And this is funny. I don't know if you know this one yet or not. I just saw it on the news tonight, and I thought I was having, you know, the big Twitch gamer on. I wanted to ask your opinion. What do you think of the GameStop deal that's going on right now, where they basically manipulated the stock market? Have you heard that?
Oh, I didn't hear
no?
this.
No? Oh, man. No. Google this.
I saw GameStop trending on Twitter, and I just figured they were going out of business.
No, the reverse. So what happened is, and it's not, I don't think the owner, it has nothing to do with GameStop themselves. I don't think they did it. But a bunch of fans, or this is my dumb mind trying to give you what I understood on the news. Their stock went through the roof because basically all the gaming fans got on social media and said, let's buy a bunch of stock. And they basically influenced the market. And it went up 800%. One guy, and this was a quote on the news, one guy made so much, this guy, some gamer like you, right? He's able to pay for his sister's. Now, I don't even know if he's a guy. It could have been a kid for all I know, because he goes, I can pay my sister's medical bills. He made so much money because he bought in, and then it went up 800% and sold out or whatever. So he made the money and got out. But Wall Street's like, they said on the news in no particular order. I can't remember which way it went, but they're. they're nervous, they're scared, they're pissed. they're like, what is going on here? Because is it really insider trading if a bunch of people say stuff online and then everybody just does it?
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, that's where we are.
And that's one of the things they're afraid of is like, what happens if all of a sudden, like today is like GameStop day. And from this day forward, we'll be the 27th, January 27th will be GameStop day, kids. You know why? Because that's the day we realize social media can manipulate the market and everything crashed because now it's not legit. Everybody's just like, all right, we'll wait. Bye.
Yeah. Well, I just bought this stock for $5. Hey, everybody, go buy stock in McDonald's today.
Well, no, what they said was, so the people on, I don't know if it was social media or whatever, but they're looking at going into these other stores that aren't doing well and giving them the same treatment. And then on the news, they announce the stores. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because now people are just going to stop buying like stock in whatever they showed on the news. I can't even remember, but isn't that crazy? And I think
hashtag
it's funny.
Support
GameStop.
Big business. Yeah, GameStop, right? Of all the places to do it, right? Holy smokes! Could you imagine? Could you imagine being that schlep that just bought you went on their phone and I'll buy some shares of GameStop, and it was like $10 and they might have done that,
right?
However long ago, then all of a sudden taking a look at your phone, and all of a sudden
you're like
eight figures in there.
Yeah. You're like, what the heck? How did this happen? Yeah, that's, I thought it was hysterical. And like I said, it couldn't be a funnier name, like store or company, GameStop of all things, video games.
Well, good for them. They've been struggling, so maybe this helps them get back on their feet.
Yeah, we'll see. Either that or they'll crash. Right afterwards, eventually
anyway, so.
Everything balances out, doesn't it? So eventually they'll go back to normal. So that is all I have.
So actually, I did think of one more thing. I think it was announced within the past couple of days. So there's a rumor there's going to be a live action Harry Potter show.
Yes, I just heard a rumor on that. I haven't heard it. I actually looked for stuff where it was real. Because I heard it, I heard that on Comic Talk today on Nerdy Legion. I listened to the podcast today, and I think even Dustin on there said it's just all he's heard is a rumor. He can't confirm or anything. And then I started looking, and everything was all that rumor stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, I hope it comes to fruition. I think that'd be fantastic. I think that'd be a lot. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
What would you think? Do you think that they could one? Well, just that's it. Do you think they could pull it off? Because you're probably not getting the same actors, and would people buy in for that?
Well, I think Harry Potter at this point is such a big property, mm-hmm. right? It's not Star Wars big, it's not Lord of the Rings, but it's big. It's big. And there's just like with Star Wars, there's an entire universe you can explore. Right? So it doesn't have to be about the main characters. We know enough about the world of Harry Potter where you see it a little bit with the Fantastic Beasts movies where they started to, they go into some origin stuff. I mean, you could take elements from, say, Half-Blood Prince with the origin of Voldemort and the heads of the houses, and you could make a show about that.
Yeah.
Or you could make a show about, their kids. You could make a show. I mean, there's so much. I think there's enough there in the world where you could explore and you could make a show out of it.
Okay.
As long as you keep it like 8 episodes, Like what we get with Netflix and stuff like that. Like, I wouldn't want to see like these with The Mandalorian. I mean, take Take a look at The Mandalorian, for example, right? They took this concept of a bounty hunter and they made a really, really good show on it. And so there's enough, I think, to Harry Potter where you could make a couple of spin-off shows that I think would be interesting, and I think people would eat it up.
Okay. See, I had the complete misconception by saying like we're gonna make a Harry Potter show. And you're 100% right. I think that's the direction that they're going to go. But when I heard that and I'm looking into it, I'm thinking, how are they going to do this? Who's going to play Harry Potter? Who's going to do this? Because I'm thinking it's going to, when you say it's going to be a Harry Potter show, I'm thinking it's going to be Harry Potter. But right. You're absolutely right. It's like you're talking, or they're talking, the Harry Potter world, like Fantastical Beasts, where it's not even a Harry Potter title. The title doesn't even say Harry Potter, unless it says right. underneath a Harry Potter story, you know, right, in right, small right. letters. But it would be a name of some other thing. Whereas Star Wars is a galaxy or a universe unto itself, and the Skywalker saga is one thing. You know, it wasn't called yep. Skywalker. Like Harry Potter's right. called Harry Potter, you know? So that's where my, you know, thick-headedness was like, oh, how are you going to do Harry Potter? You don't have Harry Potter. But you're absolutely right. And I think that would be very interesting. That would be a lot of fun.
It just occurred to me. I tried pitching an enthusiasm for a Harry Potter show to a guy who does not very much care for Harry Potter.
Well, you sold me. Look how good you are.
There we go.
Look at that.
There we go.
You sold me. I'm
there
in.
There we go.
I'm in. I still have that one more movie to go, and that's the one. I think that's the one that's going to cement me in. And I'm after that, from what you and Meg say, I'm going to go back and watch them all again.
Didn't we already talk about that movie? Yeah.
Speaking of which, I still haven't put the bloopers out from that. That's still I'm working on it. That's a good one, too. I meant to put that out earlier this week, but I got sidetracked in editing it. So, but yeah, so that it's yeah. No, I think the show would be good. I think now that you put it in that light, I was like, oh, all right, that makes sense to me. A little more sense.
Yeah, there's enough there where they could do something creative. And I didn't like again, just rumors, and I didn't read like obviously there's no specifics, but like I said, they could really take it down any number of avenues and have a successful show on their hands.
If they can make a show out of the Karate Kid that's gone three seasons, then they can make a show about anything. The only thing we haven't seen yet is a Netflix show about a spinoff from Punky Brewster.
Well, which wouldn't surprise me if that's in the, you know, in the works.
And if it does come out, John will watch it because he's always looking for content.
Always.
Always. All right, that's all I have. That's all you have.
So what am I spending my money on this week?
Nice. Oh, it feels good to be in John's chair. This is nice. John, oh, man, John, buddy, I know you're listening. Wow, you got it so comfy over here. All you got to do is wait for me to announce stuff, and then you just read from this lovely script that John sent over to me. All right, so this week in Speculator Roundup, we have Something is Killing the Children, number 14. If you've been following the trend here, then you won't be shocked to see that the 1 in 25 here is going for $50 to $60. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I've got every issue of Something's Killing the Children first printing, so I'm thinking about cashing in.
Exactly. I have them all, so, but yeah, it's the 1 in 25, I doubt I have that one, but... Yeah. But hey, anytime he says any of these books that we've been following for, what is it, 2 years now, whatever, it's like, oh yeah. Man, I could pay my mortgage. All right, next up we have Spawn number 314. The cover E here, image bonus overship cover, is going for between $6 and $10. But the big winner here is the 1 in 50 Capullo sketch. That thing is selling for a pretty impressive $150. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it stay at that level, if not continue to rise. Spawn is hot right now. And it is. We talk about Spawn all the time, actually, pretty recently.
Yeah, Nick picked up Spawn today. He picked up two books. One of them was the Capullo one, but I don't think it was. I'm assuming when he says sketch,
yeah.
It's just like a.
Yeah, that's, you know, a 1 in 50 variant cover, so that would be tough. That would be a tough one if he
but
just
picked
it up.
But he definitely picked up. He got two issues today, and the Capullo cover does look awesome.
And it's selling for $150, so I doubt.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's like a sketch one, and then right. You know what I mean, like
probably.
Yeah.
And the last one for Speculator Roundup, we have Star Wars High Republic number 1 second print came out today, I guess. And I guess collectively, we didn't order enough of these things to meet. That's John's words, because I didn't order many myself. I just bought my one. But John's saying they didn't order enough of these to meet demand because this is a $25 to $30 book. Limit one per customer. Comics are stupid sometimes. That's written in the script. That's not me. That's here in my script. So, yep. So you got, that's actually, second printings have been going, you know, from listening to our podcast, second printings have been going bananas for a while now.
Which is nuts.
What was the one we were talking about last week where there's only it's like a fifth printing or something, but there was only 1,000 copies of it and it was going for crazy money.
Was it Something Killing the Children?
I don't know.
Or was it another book?
Yeah, I'd have to go back into last week's notes.
But
it was, John would know, and John's probably screaming at his radio right now, listening to us, which will be a day later, but that's okay. He can still yell at us, right, buddy? I'm waving to you. All right, that gets us into back issue bonus. And so back issue bonus, we have Love is Love Anthology, easy for me to say. See, John makes this look so easy, mainly because he doesn't have to read this. He just knows it. So this benefit anthology from 2016 contains the first in comics appearance of Harry Potter. And yesterday it was announced that a Harry Potter TV series was in the very early stages of development. There you go. But at about $20 at the moment, and as I type this, there are no copies listed on the eBay below $50. Definitely one to watch.
There you go.
You saw that too, and so apparently the rumors have spiked this. I was just laughing while I was reading that because I feel like a newscaster, and like if John wrote something in here, and I'll just read it off. Like in the middle of it, and I'd just be putting the words out and be like, John is the best person I have ever met. What?
I'm Where's... Ron Burgundy?
Exactly. Yeah. Fill in name here. So next one we have Sandman number 6. Gaiman confirmed that one of the best and most terrifying issues of Sandman is indeed going to appear in the television series and was in fact being filmed about. And this book's going for about $20 at the moment.
That's good to hear.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Slingers number 0, Marvel 1998. A few first appearances here, and apparently there are some very out there rumors, and only rumors, that Sony might be developing a Dusk film. $15 to $25 right now. And then the next one is a giant size Avengers number 4, The Wedding of Vision and Scarlet Witch. Prices vary on condition, obviously, but even lower mid grade are $20.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
I think we can kind of see why that's happening.
Yeah.
And last but not least is Abbott number 1, Boom from 2018, announced as option for Paramount's streaming service. $30 to $35. So Paramount's that's the CBS Plus one, right? CBS All Access turning into Paramount Plus or whatever.
Is that what's going on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I'm actually very much looking forward to reading that book because Abbott 1973 came out last week and I went to go read it, and as I'm reading it, I did some looking into it, and I didn't realize that it had already been a series. And
right.
So I put the book down because then I went and read the synopsis for Abbott, and I go, oh, this sounds really, really good. And it sounds like it'll make a great TV show, like a gritty noir, you know, 70s crime, you know, kind of story. So that's awesome to hear.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that sounds like a great book.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. And more content for John.
Yep.
All right. Let's get into FOC. Just a few books this week. We have DC Comics, Future State Superman House of L number 1 has 2 covers. Image Comics, 2 Moons number 1 has multiple covers. Marvel King in Black Handbook number 1. And we have Marvel's Voices of Legacy number 1 has multiple covers. And then Boom, Berserker number 1, again, has multiple covers. And Titan, Blade Runner Origins number 1, has multiple covers. And that does it for FOC. So that gets us right into checkout. And I am so sorry. Back it up. I am sorry. Dr. Joe, you have an FOC. And
I do.
We didn't do as well as we did in rehearsal. That's for sure. That's,
yeah, I actually have like
I missed my mark.
Something can contribute. Yeah, I miss my mark quite often. But back in October, November, Nick and I had interviewed Scott Snyder, and at the time he was finishing up his Kickstarter campaign for his first creator-owned book called Noctera. And Noctera is a John's favorite post-apocalyptic story, but it sounds awesome. And so when we backed it way back then, you know, we backed a special, you know, a copy of the first issue, which is not just the comic itself, but there's also the script that goes with it, which is really neat. But Scott Snyder, depending on when you're listening to this, on Wednesday, if you're listening on Thursday, whatever, he said that final order cutoff for issue one is due next week.
Yeah.
So I would, if you want to get the regular issue of the book, go to your local comic shop, put on your pull list, because this is going to be a doozy. And even though I backed the Kickstarter, I'll get my sort of special edition first issue, I'm still going to have it put on my pull list because I think it's 6 issues, at least he says for sure he knows he's going to do for now. But I would get on that. That sounds like a great series.
Yeah, text me that. I'll put it into the show notes and yep. Make sure that it gets in where it should be under FOC for the, so obviously all of these are in the show notes every week. So, yep. But yeah. All right. Cool. That is awesome. Look at Dr. Joe sitting in, filling in for you. Brought more to FOC than I bring. What the hell? Actually, I did have one, like months back. I had one for him that he didn't have. And I was like, that's it. I'm out. See ya. Yep. I was so proud of myself. So, but yeah, but that's a little bit more difficult for me now because I don't have a store to go into anymore.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Yeah. My shop's been closed. I mean, back in at the end of August, they were closed for COVID anyways, but then they decided to do some renovations. But they were like, oh, we'll be back open in September, early October. And here we are. And they're still no closer to, you know, finishing the renovations. And so I go there like once a month to pick up a big stack of books. But I've been going to Newbery Comics as well to, you know, to get a lot of, the books that's not on my regular pull list. And, it's such a bummer about, Friendly Neighborhood Comics. I've only met those guys a few times, but they're great. And it's just a shame that, they had to, you know, close up shop.
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough because like a lot of these guys that own these stores, they're not in it for the money. They're in it for the passion of it. And to see guys like Slade like that and Ernie, I mean, I know they're all doing well, you know, financially they're doing okay. Everything's fine. Obviously Ernie has his liquor store. I mean, you go from comics to liquors, it's no brainer the money wise, but the passion for comics is still there, but now you don't have that outlet. Right. And, just to see that it's tough. It's tough. And for me, it's like now I'm trying to find a store where I can find people that have like that same type of passion, but also like, I don't know, there was just a relationship there with those guys. And like any comic book store, you want to have a good relationship with the people. Yeah. And sometimes it just doesn't happen or it's just not convenient enough. Like that place happened to be perfect for me. And then when they moved, it wasn't so perfect, but my relationship was great. So I had to go. But now it's like, it's trying to find a place that I can get to. And it looks like Newbery Comics will be it, but that the same one you go to, cause I'm up there on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
That's right. So. And it's just, it's not the same. Cause I go in and the guy knows me now, but we don't sit and talk. It's not like a comic shop because they cater to everyone else and they're doing their own thing. So, you know, it's pretty much just a, hey, how's it going? How you doing? All right. Yep. Sort of thing. It's definitely very much just a transaction. Whereas when I go to Hub in Somerville and when you would go to Friendly Neighborhood, you'd sit and you'd talk and you'd have conversations and you kind of create a, you know, develop a relationship.
Oh, I'd go there just to talk
with the people. Yeah.
Something big would happen. And I'd be like, I go down and talk to like Andrew or go down and talk to Slade or, you know, and it's like try and track Ernie down because I heard this big thing and I wanted to. I mean, there was a ton of, I mean, they were great knowledge, you know, like talking to John every week. It's that's, I loved it. That's, I mean, I loved this show before that. I met them because of this show, but now it's like, this show's all I got. It's like, it's like, ah, poor John. He's trying to get rid of me. But all right, let's get to some books this week. I don't have anything specific. I've read nothing new really came out this week. There was one book that I read that I was going to list, but I won't mention the book. I'll tell you afterwards. But the book to me was like, it had a few flaws in it. And when I mean flaws, like grammatical errors, like there were words missing in sentences.
Oh, jeez.
So I was like,
that's no good.
And I was like, it happened once. And then I read, all right, well, man, no big deal. It's not a flaw. It's not that big deal. Then it happened again. And by the time I finished the book, I felt like there were times where it was like an 8-year-old wrote it. And it was like, there were like words that were missing. Like, kind of like if I sent you a text and I missed a word, but you'd understand it and you know it's a text. This isn't a professional document, right?
Right, right, right.
But it's like, it felt like that. And by the end, I was like, I just didn't, this is,
it's a bummer.
Yeah. I felt bad because it's like, eh. So anyways, did you read anything new this week that came out?
There's no number ones I read this week, but a lot of the series that I do run all had, issues that came out this week.
Talking to John, just to stick to the number ones thing first, is I talked to John this morning and I'm like, I haven't seen anything. And he's like, yeah, nothing really, especially for indie and stuff. No new number ones this week. So I was kind of disappointed because I always look forward to just finding something, especially like, you know, like you and Boom and me and AWA. It's like, that's, I just love those books to come out. And and I know AWA has a few coming up in February. So
they do. They've got some titles I'm looking for. Yeah, I can't name them off the top
of
my head.
Yeah, me neither. AWA. Oh, can't wait. It's like,
yeah, when I go on to League of Comic Geeks and I'm looking at what's coming out new next, and I'll see, I go, oh, yep, that's it. And I'll make sure I put my note, but I can't. Well, populate it.
For me, I'm sure it's the same for you with Boom, but it's like when I get to the back of an AWA book, I'm just as excited to see their ads.
Yeah.
Like, what's coming next? I was like, you know, what's new? And it's like, there's a couple. Oh, I wish I could remember the title. There was one that's, it looks fairly, I think it's like Love Story or something. It's something about, I think you know what I'm talking about. It's like some kind of, it's like an adult type story or whatever, but I'm like, this looks good. I was like, they got some crazy stories that you're like, what? Where has this been? Why aren't more people doing stuff like this?
AWA's been killing it. Have you read Resistance?
Yes. A while ago. I read it when it first came out.
I didn't read it, but I read the Resistance Reborn. I picked it up at the
one
did.
Shot I heard and, you say that, yeah.
And, you know, it was like an origin, so I didn't know the characters, but it, you know, it gave background on them. So I'm dying to
go back. It's out in to go back now. And
read. So I'm gonna read that. I mean, I just love AWA. I only know about them because you guys, you know, had been, you know, each week when you guys read show, you'd always talk about AWA, and then I started reading, you know, some of their books, and just, I haven't read a book by them I haven't liked yet.
Exactly.
I mean, granted, I haven't read a ton. But
you won't
so far,
find one you won't
is...
like. You'll find ones that aren't as good, but you won't find one that's like, bleh.
Right. You know, you might find something that's not your cup of tea, but that's
what,
just...
What John and I are finding is we're more disappointed because it's just not great. It's good, but we're like, it's not up to their standards, which are so far out of reach. It's like they're on a roll that you're like, they can't keep this up. You know, it's like Tom Brady. You can't just keep winning. Oh, wait, he did. It's just keep going.
But Resistance Reborn was fantastic.
Yeah. I haven't read that yet. I haven't read that one yet. But I know Nick's going to read Archangel, but he hasn't read it yet, right?
No, he read it.
Oh, he did read it. Did you guys talk, or is he just hasn't talked about it yet? Is that what it is?
So we did it. Did he talk about it on the trade?
I don't think he talked about it. I thought you guys...
I don't think he did, but he did read it.
Okay.
I love that book. Was fantastic. American Ronin has been tremendous, and I think that's got one more issue left.
I can't remember. It was just under a year ago when they came out, and AWA released like five or six books at once, like Hotel, Archangel, Resistance. I can't remember which book I picked up, but the one I didn't buy was Archangel, and it was called Archangel 8.
Yep.
Okay. And the reason we didn't buy it is because, one, I didn't see it in the store. Joe had seen it. He was with me, and he didn't get it because he hadn't read Archangels 1-7. And when you look at the cover, you're like, Archangel 8. Well, and it looks just like it would. Like, you're like, okay, so he didn't get it. And then I looked into it. I was like, oh, that's Archangel, like the seven Archangels. Okay. And I went after, I can't remember. I wish I could remember which book it was. And I feel like I'm slighting the book because I can't remember the first AWA book I read, but they were all so great. It could have been any of them.
Yeah.
But I remember I read two of them and I was like, I have to go back and get, and the next day I went back and got Archangel, and that ended up being my favorite one out of them. But that's, I was so just good. Like, it was so funny. And I even said, I remember saying to Ernie, I go, I can't believe, I'm like, how many people are passing this up because they didn't read 1-7? But that's, it's like, and he's like, yeah, because the way it was like Archangel, and then I think the 8 was in red or something off to the side of it. So it kind of looked like that's what it meant. But it was pretty funny at the time. It was like, I was like, hey, you're right, Joe. It did. It looked like that. Yeah. But
oh, it was such a good book. I loved it. I'm glad I talked about it. And I think I'll be doing Hotel for, you know, the week of Valentine's.
Valentine's, I heard you say that. I'm like, how are you tying that in?
Just because, you know, Valentine's Day, so lovey-dovey, and that is the and this absolute isn't? Antithesis. You
know? Right. I know. That's like, so for Dorktober next year, you should do The Wedding.
Yeah.
Right. Batman The Wedding. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to read that again.
You're going to read that for Dorktober. Well, you're doing Hotel for Valentine's Day, so you can do that. Oh man. So,
but yeah, so the only number ones that I noticed this week were Future State books.
Yeah.
Which I haven't read yet. So there's two Future State books I'm reading for TLDR, Aquaman, which I am intrigued to read, and then the other one is Legion of Superheroes. So we've been doing like a little like draft.
Yeah.
You know, on who gets what book, and I got stuck with Legion of Superheroes. So
way to sell that enthusiasm.
Yeah. So we'll see how that one goes.
I got stuck with.
Yeah. Yeah. but I'll read though. I haven't read those yet. I'll have those read for our little tie in on Friday. But I was able to knock off I've got like 12 books that came out this week. That I've been reading. Yeah. I didn't read all 12, but I read half of them. So I read Dark Detective number 2, and we'll talk a little Future State in a bit. And I know you guys' feeling on that, but this book, Dark Detective, I don't know if that's one that you had read or not. But I absolutely love it. It's probably it's the best Future State book I've read. And just because it's a little bit different. I'm a big Dan Mora fan. I love his art in the book, and Mariko Tamaki is the writer on it, and I just kind of love where the character is, what she's doing with the character in this book, because it's very futuristic. It's got that Akira, you know, kind of vibe to it, especially with the art. And I wrote that review for Geeks Worldwide, which is out as of now, at the time that you're listening to this. Something is Killing the Children. I mean, I can't talk about that series enough. That's one of my, over the past year or so, it's been, you know, one of my favorite books. Have you read Department of Truth?
Oh, yet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and I have talked about it. Yeah.
Oh, so, so good. That's right.
Yeah.
This is that mental mush we were talking before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we went on air. But I don't know if you've read the latest issue of that one yet, but it is a doozy.
Did one come out today? I haven't seen it.
Department of Truth came out today. Yep.
Okay. What number is that? Yep. Is that four or five?
Five.
Five? Yeah. Okay.
Five.
And did this you get Keith in series. On that yet?
I've been trying. I've been trying. I've
that
mentioned
is
to
so
it,
up his than... alley. It's just like, just the, I mean, the synopsis alone should get him to be like, all right, he should put the show on hold so he could go read it.
So when the trade comes out, I think he's a trade guy. Okay. Right? So he likes to wait until you get a nice collected edition.
Yeah.
Kind of rip through it all at once. But you know, the first couple issues of this book, especially issues 2 and 3, where they were focused on a specific conspiracy. I remember the one where it was sort of revolved around the school shooting.
Yeah, number 2.
And that one, yeah, that one just like,
yeah.
That was heavy, and so I thought maybe that's where the book with the series was going to go, or each issue was going to focus on a specific. But it's gotten away from that, and when you read this issue, I like to say this a lot. Your jaw's going to drop. You're just like,
ugh, yeah,
what? Huh? Whoa!
I'm probably going to read it as soon as we finish this because I love that book, and I don't know how I missed it today because I look for that stuff, but I somehow I must have. Flown by.
So that was absolutely tremendous. Harley Quinn #4. Batman : White Knight Presents : Harley Quinn #4 came out. I don't know if you've read this Black Label series.
I read Harley the first one. I wasn't crazy about it. John liked it. John liked it a little bit.
Keep reading. It's really good. It's a very noirish 1950s. And so keep reading because each issue really gets better and better. And it's only 6 books. And so with issue 4 coming out, a lot of big reveals in this book. I also wrote a review for that on Geeks Worldwide, which is, when you're listening to this is out over there. And then lastly, 2 other books that I read, Unkindness of Ravens from Boom, #5 came out today. I guess that's the end.
I haven't read that.
This is not a book I would have grabbed, but I've made this rule for TLDR Boom #1s. We read them,
of course,
right? And so I read it because of that, and it looked interesting. And it's sort of like this high school. It's about the group of witches in this weird mysterious town, and it doesn't it's not something that'd be up my alley, but it was really interesting. It's a really great little, a great little mystery to it. It's been a fun book to read, and it looks like issue 5 is the last book, and I don't know if they're planning on a second arc, but I enjoyed that. And then lastly, Star Wars Adventure Smuggler's Run #2 by IDW came out this week. And that's just a fun, it sort of takes place sort of right before the events of Empire Strikes Back. So you've got Han and Chewie doing this mission, for Leia, where it's sort of an extraction mission they have to do. And it's only 2 books. It's a fun little read. Good little Star Wars book.
Cool. So you didn't read Daredevil #26 yet?
So the only reason why I haven't read it is because it's in my pull list at Hub Comics.
And
I haven't, I probably won't get down there for another week or two to pick up.
You gotta grab it, even just grab it digitally, just to read it. The tie-in, it's tied in. It's on the cover. It's tied in with King in Black.
Okay.
So this book, I was hoping you had read it. And I was like, maybe we'll do some kryptonite if you had read it after the show, but
I'll read it real quick while you're talking.
Yeah, it's bonkers. It's so good. And the idea, it's like just reading the book. It's like, obviously on the cover, you see that it's a King in Black tie-in, and I'm not following King in Black like religiously throughout, but just seeing it come into this book. And all of a sudden you're just like, oh, here we go. What's going to happen here? And I say that like, oh no, is this going to ruin the story? Like, I don't need, cause Daredevil's fairly grounded.
Yeah.
And especially the story that like Zdarsky's trying to weave here. It's like, yeah, we're talking superheroes and stuff, but and we know it's in the same universe as like Venom and all of this stuff, but it never really comes into a Daredevil story too much, especially this story. It's more in Hell's Kitchen and everything, right? So yeah. When this comes in, you're just like, what? Where is this thing? Like, it's weird. But you just, like I said, I rolled my eyes for like a half a second, but then I had to get them back down on the page because you're just glued to it. And the story, the wait, I can't wait for Daredevil number 27.
So have you read any King in Black?
No, I bought the books off of listening to you. I just haven't gotten around to reading it, but I wanted like the King in Black main story.
Right,
the Venom King. Right. I wanted to read
that's
that.
That's all I'm doing. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
you actually talked me into it because I was like, I'm not really going to get into it. And you're like, no, you get. And you, I don't even think you were talking to me in particular. I think you were. I just listening to you.
Yeah.
On TLDR, and I was like, all right, I'll do it. But so I bought the books. I just have to do it.
Because I think I've made my feelings known. And I remember when War of the Realms was going on, and. And at the time, you sucked in, but even then, I couldn't get every tie-in. It's just
right
when Marvel does an event, they do it to the nth degree, and it's a bit much. And I remember you went through and you read, I'm pretty sure you read
every
single book that went with it. And after that, I just got so burnt out on these big events. You know, what Nick and I enjoy about DC is that when they do an event, it's still big, but it's scaled back. Like, Death Metal had its tie-in issues, but it wasn't, you know, multiple tie-ins a week, every week,
right,
for 8 weeks or however long right. the event is. You know, it'd be like, okay, Death Metal 1 comes out this week, next week, a tie-in issue comes out, and then issue 2, right? So, like, they had something every week, but it was minimal. They seemed to do it right. Marvel just, boom, it's in your face. And King in Black, it just feels like a mini version of War of the Realms.
Yes.
Where the main line isn't as long, but there's still a ton of tie-ins. And I just said, I'm not doing the tie-ins. I'm just reading the main story, and you get a really good main story. Like, those books, King in Black issue 3 just came out last week, and I mean, I've read most of Donny Cates' Venom run. I've read Donny Cates' Absolute Carnage. I've read his Silver Surfer, and Donny Cates, like, he knows these characters. He writes them so well, and this is just like, and Donny Cates goes, you know, he doesn't hold back in his books. He really isn't holding back with this, and it's I would encourage you to read the first three books because I think you'll be like, wow, yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, I'd listened to you talk about it before. I felt the same way. I was like, all right, I've got to read them. I believe I bought one the first day anyways.
Yeah.
And then listening to you, I was like, all right, I'll grab two. And yeah. I literally have them sitting right there. I just have to read them.
But it'll be interesting to see how the tie-in with Daredevil because you're right about Daredevil being grounded in a sense, and I've talked about this. Nick makes fun of me all the time, but when I talk about Daredevil and when I talk about Zdarsky in general, he's one of the best character writers going.
Yeah,
right. And with Daredevil, you combine that with a really relatable story, right? With,
right.
And everything that's going on, especially now. You know where he's can I say
yeah
it's not a spoiler to say he's
yeah
in,
no that's
right,
what
that prisoner
he's,
right
that he's in prison yeah that's
yeah
that's months old now yeah
yeah well you know
he's
you
months
know,
into his 2 year stint.
I've got a reputation to uphold. I'm 20-ish weeks you know spoiler free
right
know?
I don't even think that's a spoiler because if you haven't read anything Daredevil yet. And I told you, start reading it at book one, and guess what? He goes to prison. You'll be like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
That might get people in it. I mean, if it's not really that, how does he get to go to prison? What happens to him in prison? That's the story.
Yeah.
So it is pretty cool. And speaking of that, this week's book, it goes from inside the prison. There's a story there. And that's to your point of Zdarsky bringing out, like, just fleshing out, like, these characters and writing characters. There's a another prisoner that he puts the guy's probably in six panels, and he put such emotion and passion into that character inside of six panels. And it made you realize that something that, and you'd understand, I'll talk to you, I could even talk to you off air about this because you know what's going on in prison, even without reading this book. And it wouldn't even spoil anything for you for the book, but I don't want to spoil it for other people. But what's going on, it added another element to that, to a situation Daredevil's dealing with that I hadn't even thought of. Huh. And again, if we had, you know, if you'd read it, we could really delve into it. I'm sure John and I will delve into it next week. Do you hear that, buddy? Read it by next week. So, but yeah, he did such a great job. And in a way, that one part of this week's book, it actually distracts you from some of this other stuff that's going, like, you forget that, oh, wow. Oh, yeah, this is a King in Black story. And you know what I mean? It's such a good book. It's the entire run is. It's 25. Oh, and it's like, that is one that Nick said he's going to start. He hasn't started it, but he's going to start at one.
Yeah, I've got a feeling insane. The running joke is that, you know, we're going to through the lifespan of the show, and he still won't have ever read it.
That's right. Know? Yeah. And he said, when's the show dying? And you were like, I don't know. I could die.
Yeah, I could die tomorrow. You know, I can get hit by a bus. Who knows? But yeah, he always you know, busts my huevos about it. But I mean, Zdarsky, Lemire, Tynan. I mean, these guys just write characters so well, and what he's done with Daredevil has just been. There's a reason why it's been, you know, such a great book for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's a testament to the writing and to the story and all that. So I can't wait to get my hands on that one.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to either. Give me a call.
Yeah. I'll text you right away. I think it was a three jokers. You and Nick, as soon as I read the first issue, I texted both of you guys right away. I said, have you read this book yet? Read it.
It was insane. Awesome. It was awesome. That was the ending of the first book was fantastic. That is one that didn't Keith just read those? He just read those. I think I saw it on Twitter, and he's like, unreal. The other book I read this week, XO Man of War. I forget which issue that is. I think it's like four or something. That I'm having, I don't know if you've read any of that. Valiant Comics. That's just a lot of fun. It's a colorful book. It's a great story. It's got a little bit of an Iron Man vibe going on with it right now. But it's one of those that it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoy reading that. I picture the covers
because I see them all the time. It's just not one that I've ever grabbed.
If you ever get any of the, just go on and look, even if you go on like Comixology and look up XO Man of War, just grab one. I think you would like the character himself. You're a lot like me, the sarcasm and the humor and stuff, but there's action, there's history involved with it because he's a time traveling kind of thing. I really think you'd like it. It's a very creative character. There's a lot of similarities to other popular characters we have. Like I said, Iron Man for one. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy that. John and I are both enjoying that one.
Yeah, you guys have been talking about it the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. And Knock 'Em Dead number 2. Did you read number 1?
I have it, but I haven't read it.
So number 2 is really good, too. Good follow-up. Really enjoying that one as well. The first one... You said you haven't read it, but the first one is a lot. It's like stand up, and I can't remember who the writer was, but the writer was like, he set it up in such a way and really made you feel like you were on stage with him and failing. And it was tough. And he's a struggling comedian. And it was, but as the story goes on, you're like, oh, I thought this would just be a story about that. But then it has a nice twist at the end that goes into the kind of supernatural, and it really takes off into book number 2.
That sounds great. I'm gonna have to pick that up. Oh, not going to have to pick it. I'm going to have to read it.
Yeah. Get it up off the shelf. Kind of like my Men in Black. Men in Blacks. Yeah. My King in Blacks. So.
Yes.
All right. That should do it for checkout, right?
Yeah. That's all I've gotten to this week.
All right. Let's do a little bit of real world before we get into our WandaVision talk. What else? Anything else interesting that you've been watching this week?
So I mentioned it on Twitter, but I'll talk about it a little bit more. So John had talked about he had watched The Alienist recently. So I read the book, and it's got to be close to a decade. It's been a long time, and I flew through the book, loved the book, gave it to Megan. Megan read it, and there's a second book, which we've read, which apparently the second season is based off of. But we watched the first season and absolutely loved it. It was really good. Trying to remember, I think the good thing about having, you know, read the book so long ago and just having a cursory sort of, you know,
right,
recollection of it was good, because it didn't take away from the show, you know, because that can happen, right? Oh, well, it wasn't like the book, or it wasn't, you know, and so, but it was really, really good. And, you know, sort of, you know, turn of the century, or close to turn of the century, you know, crime thriller using, you know, new, you know, like fingerprinting is still in its infancy.
That was funny.
Being able to, you know, dive into the mind of, you know, a killer, profiling, you know, in its infancy. And there was enough stuff that I remembered from the book. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's coming back to me. And so it was a really, really good show. So I enjoyed that. And Megan and I will probably start season two soon. So we haven't been watching, but that's pretty much taken up our time the past week, and we're looking forward to watching the Denzel movie, The Little Things, on Friday.
Yeah, that comes out Friday. That looks good. That looks really good. My wife and I we're still going through The Alienist. Yeah. She thought it was a little slow. I said that to John before. We said that last week. She thought it was a little slow. I'm enjoying it. I don't know if, like I said to her before, it's like she loves the intrigue and the murder part of it, but she's not crazy about the time period stuff, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
She wants more modern killing, like I said last week. So.
Yeah, I was fast. I love the time period aspect of it. It does drag just a touch, right, sort of in the last act, right, where they kind of cram things a little bit in the end for the last episode, but... other than that, I mean, that's just a slight knock,
because
it's not like it was stretched out over, you know, 12 or, you know, more episodes, and it was really bogged down just a little bit there. But, I think you guys will, if you haven't finished it, right?
No, we haven't finished it yet.
Yeah. So the last two episodes, you'll enjoy very much.
Cool. Have you seen Big Sky?
I have not seen Big Sky.
That's really good. That's over. I think we're watching. That's on Hulu.
Okay.
It's like I think it's an ABC show, actually, or something like that. That's over on Hulu. And they actually just dropped. I talked to John about this morning. The latest show just dropped yesterday, the 26th.
Yep.
So that's one of those ones. It's episodic, but it was on a break from December or whatever. So. I think episode 5 or 6 just dropped on the 26th, and we've been watching that. It's about truckers and human trafficking.
Oh, geez.
Type thing. So
it's a nice light.
Yeah, but it's really good. There's a girl in it, a young girl that if you start watching, it's going to remind you a lot of. We're also doing Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And so there's a young girl in it that reminds you a lot of Arya Stark.
Okay.
Very strong, very smart, she's a young girl on Big Sky, and I think you'll like it. Check one out. I think you'll like it. It'd be really quick for you to catch up. They're like 40-minute episodes, and there's only five or six of them now. So.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's really good. Coyote. I tried that one out. John talked about that last week. That's the one with Michael Chiklis, I think. Yeah, Michael Chiklis.
Oh, okay, yep.
Tried that. Another one that's a little slow to start, like the first 10 minutes. Jen and I looked at each other and go, is there going to be dialogue? It's like, what the hell? Like, it was like the first 10 minutes is like nothing, but it kind of picks up after that. And John had raved about it. He said it was really good. And after the first episode, Jen's like, I don't know. I go, well, to be fair, you said that after Cobra Kai. Right, one episode right. of Cobra Kai. She's like, all right. So we haven't done episode two yet, but she will.
Yeah. One other thing we watched right before we got into Aliens was Night Stalker on Netflix.
Yeah.
So the documentary on the Night Stalker serial killer from the 80s out in Los Angeles.
Is that new?
I think... it's new to us. We just watched it. I can't remember when it came out. I don't think it came out all that long ago. But it was absolutely fantastic to watch. And what was great about it was the detectives that were on the case were in the documentary.
Oh, really?
They're very fascinating to listen to. And as they broke down the case and how that unfolded and how they ended up catching the guy. So if you're into, you know, serial killers and documentaries, that one loves that.
She might have already seen it. That's why I'm asking if it's new. It's like,
yeah.
When somebody tells me about a serial killer show, I'll come home and go, oh, I heard about a good one. She goes, yeah, I saw it.
Okay. So it was new to us, but I don't think it come out all too long ago. And then my brother's trying to get me to watch Ripper, which I do plan on watching. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Cool. I'll definitely ask her about that one. But the other thing, did you see my tweets this week? I think they were on Home Theater, though, the Home Theater Twitter. My Def Leppard concert that my wife and I went to, quotation fingers, on Saturday night.
You
Oh, so one of my listeners, my Home Theater listeners, tweets me on Saturday and says, check out Def Leppard. It's a con. He had the I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but it's from 2017. And he said, Let's Get Rocked is probably the best track you'll ever listen to, a concert, you know, concert track you'll ever listen to in your theater. He's like, the crowd noise, it's, you know, basically high def filmed and it looks incredible. So Saturday afternoon, I call my wife down to the theater and I said, hey, check out this. And we watched that one song, and it's like the, I don't know, second or third to last song, right? So I looked at her, I go, hey, you want to go to do the concert tonight? We'll just put it on down here. And she's like, all right, sounds like fun. She showers up. She gets all dressed up. We had some drinks in the kitchen. We're tailgating before the show. We're like at 7 o'clock. We're like, they go on at seven. We'll start it at 7:30. 7:30 goes on. We're still eating our little appetizers and having a few drinks. And then she goes, you ready to go down? I go, they don't start until later. You know, it's always a delay. So we treated the whole thing like a real concert. We had an absolute blast. We go down. And, you know, she's having her issues with her head and stuff. So she goes, don't turn it up too loud. It's like, okay. So I turned it up. I turned it on. And she goes, we were like 10 seconds into the first song. And she's like, turn it up. Yeah. All right, turn it up some more. Turn it up some more. Yeah. I had this thing cranked beyond what it should have been. And we had an absolute blast. And it was like being at the concert. To the point that when they played a song that she didn't really know, like one of their newer songs. She went to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yep.
I was like, I got the remote right here.
No, just keep it going.
It going. She goes upstairs, uses the bathroom. She comes downstairs. She comes running in. Her hands are in the air. And she's like, you need to stand up with me. And where my chair is, I can't stand up because the projector is behind me. You wouldn't see anything on the screen. I was like, no, I'm good down here. But we were singing out loud, yelling. We had an absolute blast.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like, I'll send you a couple of the pictures. I did a couple of the montage pictures or whatever that I put together and she sent them out to our neighborhood friends and they're like, how did you get to a show? Because the pictures we took of the screen looks like you're at a show.
Right.
And then the pictures of us, we actually took selfies of ourselves, and because it's dark in the room and the light off the screen, it looks like you're in a dark concert hall.
So that's awesome. It's so funny. That's awesome.
But that's on, if you check it out, it's, the app is Qello. don't know if you've heard me talk about it before, but it's Q-E-L-L-O, no U. It's Q-E-L-L-O, and they have everybody you can imagine in there. It does get old. You'll like go through it and be like, all right, well, now I'm done going through their concerts. But I paid for it a year ago, and then I was like, well, we haven't used it much, so I thought I was going to cancel it. But because I paid for the year, you still have it, right, until your anniversary date, and then it would go away. And so when this happened, she goes, I thought you canceled this. And I was like, oh, I guess this. I go, you're glad it didn't get canceled yet, aren't you? She, like I said, it was an absolute blast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That brings us to WandaVision. WandaVision! All right, WandaVision. Spoiler-free, Dr. Joe. We know you have your little bit of history there. Be careful. We'll talk spoilers in Kryptonite afterwards. But spoiler-free, you're keeping up with the show, right? So
I am, yep.
What do you think? Episode 3 this week. What are you thinking?
I mean, I love the show. It's great because it's different than, you know, anything we've gotten, you know, on Disney Plus, you know, in terms of these properties. And I think we all had an idea of what WandaVision was going to be, you know, when it was first announced. And then, you know, after watching the first two episodes, but I love it because it's fun. You can tell the actors are having fun. Elizabeth Olsen is just killing it. You know, with her role as, as Wanda, and Paul Bettany's doing a great job as Vision, and it's fun because they're embracing the time period and the style of the sitcoms on these shows. So that aspect alone, you know, makes it fun. And then with all the side characters, you can tell the actors and actresses are having a ton of fun with it. So I'm enjoying it. And then with the episode that came out, episode 3 that came out, this past Friday, I mean, that was a good one. That was a really good episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked to John at length about it, and we'll get into more of that when we get into the spoilers. And I'll be interested to get your take on it too, because just John and I's conversation, we both kind of went in like, it evolved. Our opinion, not our opinion of the show. We both love the show, but our opinions of what's happening. I know mine evolved while I was talking to him. Like, well, we think this, and it's like, but that's what's great about the show is there's so many little nuggets. And obviously I could talk about this spoiler free easily because you could just call them nuggets, but there's so many pieces of evidence or little nuggets, whatever you want to call them, that when you think you've pinned down what was going on, there's another piece that you might have forgotten about that contradicts what this idea is. Right. So you're like, oh, well, this could be happening. Yeah, but, and this is what John and I did today. We were like, he goes, but this is what's, I think this is how I go, but how can this be happening if this happened over here? And we're like, oh, yeah. So then, it was like, you really have to put the puzzle pieces together, but they've only given us like 5 pieces in like a 100-piece puzzle. And we're all trying to figure out what it's going to be at the end. And it's going to be a white polar bear in a snowstorm and go, oh, okay. Yeah. That was hard. But that's what I think this show, and not just I think, everybody has said, this show is going to be fantastic when it's over. And then you can go back and watch all of these episodes and see what every like nugget means.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, even now I want to go back and rewatch the first 3 episodes to pick up with the little things. Cause you know, I think the biggest knock, you know, on it when it first came out is they put the first 2 episodes out and it didn't seem like there was a lot of action.
You know,
but I think there's so much information that's packed in those 2 episodes. And then what we get with the third, I can't wait to see where this goes. Cause like you said, we all have our theories. We all have an idea, but what is Marvel good at? Okey-doking the hell out of you.
Right.
And so I am fully expecting this thing to pivot 90 degrees at some point, and we're all just going to go, what the hell?
Right.
And I can't wait to see what role that this show is going to play, you know, with Doctor Strange. And, you know, where my thoughts are, where they're sort of going with Phase 4 is this is going to be a great one. Because we're seeing it with the Spider-Man casting. And how they're getting... I mean, that's got to... That has to directly relate to WandaVision and what's going on here and creating these... You know, there's, you know, in the multiverse of madness with Doctor Strange, it's all leading into chaos.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for it.
Yeah. It's, I know. I can't wait for 2023 to get here.
Right. 2025 by the time, you know.
I know.
the way we're going. You know?
Yeah. It's the entire thing is, it's just, like you said, to start out WandaVision here, it's like nothing else. That anything has been done in you were saying on Disney, but on anything, not a single comic entity has put out a show quite like this.
No.
And very, very interesting on how they pulled it off with the different themes and have that actually fit into the story and not be, you know, not just be too like, I don't know, too, not wonky isn't the word, but it's like too, I don't know. I can't think of the word, but we're in. We've bought in to, you know, 50s, 60s, now 70s, and you're just like, but it fits to the show as far as we know, because what we've fit in, and it's just been fantastic. And I'm only a few, we're, as we talk right now, like, what, 20-something, 20, 30 hours away from the next one, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
But what's funny is talking about going back and watching each episode again, as much as we hate and we want these shows to be longer, it's cool that they're this short because it makes it more conducive to going back and watching them again.
Yeah.
If these were all an hour long, we'd all be like, all right, I want to see it again, but I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. You know, and I think the show would lose all its charm if it was that long.
Right.
Because 25 to 30 minutes, it's perfect because it feels it. It's presented as a sitcom. It feels like a sitcom. But if you were to stretch, to me, if you were to stretch that over an hour, I think it would get a little old.
Yeah.
You know, and you'd be like, oh, okay, you know, because what they're doing here is they're telling you a story and they're keeping it nice and tight. It's going to be a perfect little package, you know, for when we get to unwrap it and then go back and rewatch it again. And people will, you know, induce it to get you to watch it over and over a couple of times because you'll want to rewatch again leading up to Doctor Strange. You'll want to probably rewatch again leading up to, you know, whatever else. And so, it's great because I think what you're trying to say is you would think it would be a little distracting,
right?
You know, with the different, you know, we're in the 50s, we're in the 60s, we're in the 70s. It's Bewitched. It's I Love Lucy. It's the Brady Bunch. But what's great about it is because the actors and actresses are so invested, you pulled right in and you're looking for the breadcrumbs.
Right.
But you're also absolutely fascinated because I don't know about you, but I am completely fixated on Wanda, not just, you know, because she's the main character of the show or one of the main characters of the show, but I'm looking for like personality ticks to see when she's going to have that psychotic break.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. We'll get into some of that in a little bit. It's really good. But before that, we need to get to our little discussion about Future State. We have dissenting opinions here. You had mentioned it a little bit earlier in the show. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm in the unique position for me to be on this side. I'm usually
you're in the nudie chair.
Yes. And I am 100% in the nudie chair. I am like, it's not even like a role I just chose to play. I actually do feel that way. You and I have talked about it off air as friends. Just, I told you what's going on. But you and Nick are really enjoying it.
So really enjoying it, you know, so, you know, opinions change, right? No. So we were very much looking forward to Future State, when it was announced. And I know that John, he got the books a heck of a lot sooner than Nick and I got the books. We're, you know, because we're, you know, when we're writing for Geeks Worldwide, we get our DC books that we can read on Friday so that we can, you know, review them. And but we didn't have them in as much in advance as John did. So he was able to sort of, you know, formulate his opinion and read them and get a sense of things before they came out. Whereas, you know, Nick and I are sort of reading these titles pretty much, you know, on a week to week basis. And so, but we are both very excited for it. And, you know, the mindset, you know, listening to sort of you and John describe it, whereas it's hard to get invested because we know that this is only for a short period of time and that everything else is going to pick back up again in March. Whereas, you know, I feel like Nick and I are looking at it like, okay, this is an opportunity for them to just tell some really cool stories.
Right.
And we're big fans of a Black Label. And that's essentially what Black Label is. Black Label is, for the most part, 4 to 6 issues, non-canon stories. And it gives the writers an opportunity to, you know, go down an avenue with these characters that we don't get on the main run or the main, you know, the main title, because there's certain expectations there, and you want to see the characters that you know and love fit their, you know, traditional roles. And so when Future State, the first week, you know, came out, I really enjoyed the books that I read. It was Superman and Metropolis. Nick had read The Next Batman, and we, for the most part, we enjoyed the books that came out in that first week. And then each week since then, it's been a little more up and down. And I had read, and one of the books that I was very much looking forward to was Superman, Worlds of War, Worlds at War.
Yeah.
And just because the cover of the book looked awesome, the title sounded badass, and I've never been so frustrated with the book. I don't know. I reviewed it for Geek Worldwide. I've talked about
Superman
it on TLDR.
Year One.
So yeah, well yeah, that one yeah yeah.
Yeah.
I do my best to just leave that one in the flaming pile of trash where it belongs. So this is right up there with that. I was just, and my issue with it was, it's only 2 books, so you got to get into it.
Right. I heard you talking about that. And you're 100% right. You're like,
yeah.
I love the way you put it too. You're like, you wasted a book.
Yeah.
You have 2 books. You wasted one.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know, and to get to your point, like, this is the first time, because you had said, you and both, John, it's hard for me to invest. I feel like they're just wasting my time because I know this stuff isn't canon. I know it's not really going to continue on
right
going forward. And I was okay with that for most of these books, but you got to get into it.
Right.
Right. You got some of these books like Dark Detective, which I love from Future State, that's got 4 books to it. But even then, they get right to the action. They get right to telling you a story and pulling you in. You got 2 books. You got to pull me in within the first couple of panels, within the first couple of pages.
Right.
Because there's not much more going on. And you get to the end of the book, and the most exciting stuff was the last, you know, handful of panels. And even then, you've got no context. What the heck is going on here? And now I'm going to have to, you know, everything's going to be crammed. And the book 2 might be really good. I might really enjoy that one, but come on. Like,
right.
And so that was frustrating to me because I was looking forward to it. I was very let down with that. But as a whole, and we'll get into this more in our tie-in on Friday, but when we do our big event, when we talk about Future State overall, is that for the most part, I think, you know, Future State for me has been pretty good.
Yeah. And for me, like I said to you privately, John and I have talked about it a little bit, but it's just when that first week, and you know from listening to the show, it's like John and I have different opinions. Him saying what he said like back in November about the books, that doesn't affect me. It's not, because I would love nothing more than to be able to tell him I love the books, you know? So, but that first week when I sat down to read those first few books that came out, I was just like, what am I doing? I'm like, and it's, I think Batman, the dark Detective or whatever. Is that the one that came out today or the number 2 came out today or something?
Yep.
I read that one and I didn't think it was awful.
Yeah.
It's not like I hated it.
Yeah.
But when I read it, I was like, I just can't, like, what is this for? Why are they doing this? And why, like, why do they have to, like you had said earlier about, like, War of the Realms, like, oh, you know, Marvel, when they do something, they do it big, and it's like, it's this crazy event. And it's like, well, yeah, and they kept everything else running. And here, yeah, DC's like, well, we're going to do a big event, and we're going to shut the rest of the company down. Yeah. So, and so that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And, I mean, you're 100% right when you said the other day, you're like, look, it's just like any of the, you know, Black Label books or any indie books that you might pick up that are 2, 3, 4 stories long, but you still pick them up and read them because they're new stories. See, I'm taking it as, I'm looking at this and going, these are characters that I like, and I want to continue reading their stories. And I can't help but say there is some animosity there that they shut everything else down.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is, because they're only 2 books long, I'm not losing anything by not reading them. Because if I'll listen to you guys, I'll listen to Twitter, I'll listen to people say, and like, if in April they go, oh, this is a great tie-in, well, I'm only 2 stories back. Right. I can go back and pick it up. You know what I mean? So it's like, why am I killing myself to get invested in this? Let's take some time to relax. And it's like, I just couldn't get into it. And it's, and I'm not saying the books are bad, because I didn't even think that bad. I think they're laid out poorly. I'm not crazy about that. And it's like, you get this nice thick book and you think, all right, this is pretty good. And then it was like, there's other stories in there. I didn't know what was what. I was like,
That's the one thing that from the get go, like when I reviewed Superman and Metropolis, from Sean Lewis, I liked the book. I loved the story, and it got right into it. And then there's 2 other, and I'm like, those, I felt, why do I need to read these? If they're important enough, make them their own book.
Right.
And so what they're doing is they're throwing these little tie-ins, but they're doing them in these little short stories. And it's hard to keep track of, right? Whereas this is where it gets a little tricky, because I'm reading half the books, Nick's reading half the books. And so some of the short stories that are in my books tie into some of the books that he's reading.
Oh, jeez.
Right? And so that part I don't like. I don't like that aspect of it. But however, I will say with Dark Detective that the short story that was in Dark Detective #1, The Grifter, was fantastic. Enjoyed that. And then this week's was a Red Hood story, which was fantastic. And in my review, I said I wish they had taken this Red Hood story and made it a 2-issue future, like, main title.
Make that a story, book.
Right? Because it was really good, and it was a different take. It was seeing, you know, the Red Hood and Jason Todd, you know, in a way that we haven't, you know, seen them before. So, you know, my issue isn't with, like I said, these stories taking our characters and, you know, placing them in ways that we haven't seen them before, because that will always interest me, and I think that's a big part of why I like Black Label so much, is that we can see, you know, what Sean Murphy and his wife Katana Collins are doing with Batman and Harley Quinn, and what we got with the 3 Jokers. And, you know, even though I have issues with the 3 timelines going on simultaneously in Batman Catwoman, I am enjoying that book.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Future State is really giving us these characters in different. Now, not every book is a home run, and I've got week 1 in front of me right here. It was Next Batman, it was Flash, it was Harley Quinn, Superman and Metropolis, Swamp Thing, and Wonder Woman. And so the books that I had read that week were Superman and Metropolis, Swamp Thing, and Flash. And I'll tell you, I was about to put Swamp Thing down. I was like, this is just not my cup of tea. But I kept with it, and the last 2 pages of that book hooked me in. Like, it did its job. Yeah. Okay, I want to read Swamp. I'm not a big Swamp Thing reader anyways. That's another thing about Future State that I've been kind of enjoying, because I've been reading titles that I don't normally read.
Right.
Flash, I didn't mind Flash either. People that are big Flash people, I get why they don't like this book. But I'm not a big Flash reader, so I enjoy it. Right. That's the thing about all of this. It's subjective. It's comic books. It's art. It's stories. You know, we're not all going to like everything, but you know, there's other titles. Robin Eternal. I rolled my eyes when I got stuck with that one. I enjoyed it.
Oh, really? I started that one, and that's the book that I was like, what are we doing? Why am I reading? And I stopped. And it's like I said, it's not like I hated it. I was just like, I was busy that day, and I was in the middle of something, and I'm like, I got something else. I got so many other things to do, and that kind of just clouded my mind. And whereas if I had absolutely nothing else to do, and I was like, say I was looking for content like John and his TV shows, I'd probably be loving Future State. I'd be like, oh, all fresh stuff. I could sit down and relax. And do. But it's like, I'm in a different state, and I'm not. That's how everybody forms opinions. There's a bunch of things that go into it. Some of it has nothing to do with the material or whatever you're forming an opinion about. It has more to do with you, and that's where I am with this right now. And it just didn't work out for me right now.
And I think that's why it's working for Nick and I, because we are splitting it up. So there isn't that helps, daunting task of, oh, I got to read this. I've got like this massive stack of books, because I mean, each week it's 5 or 6 books.
Right.
And so splitting that up is, it makes it a little bit easier. And so when you know, the books that you like will stand out a little bit more versus the ones you don't like, because the volume of which you're not reading. But it's not like Robin Eternal was like, oh, it's fan. But I was like, oh, I actually kind of enjoyed this, you know, as the book, you know, progressed. But I mean, for me, hands down, it's Dark Detective, because like I said earlier, it's got this Akira feel to it. You know, we're so used to seeing, you know, Batman and Bruce Wayne having their
language
together. We're used to seeing them, you know, that character, you know, Bruce Wayne with unlimited resources. And, you know, and then we get the opposite of that in this. And I love Dan Moore's art, especially with Once in Future, and he did Claws, and just the way he draws, it's fantastic. And this is even a little bit different from him, because it sort of gives you that vibe of sort of like neon Tokyo, Japan, right?
Yeah.
Just this futuristic city in which, you know, Bruce Wayne and Batman is just not in his element. And that's just a fun, fascinating read for me. And so I would probably give, you know, Future State just probably a B-C+ overall, you know?
Oh, okay.
I still got more books I've got to read. But, you know, as I said in my review, like, for the most part, it's been good. And you've had some duds, and you've had some home runs. It's a classic bell curve, you know.
Oh, nice.
Where the majority of stuff is in the meaty part there, and you've got some outliers. But, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, because I had that experience with that Superman, you know, Worlds at War.
It's like,
you just wasted my, you know, you know, language, time, and, like, because they are shutting everything down, these books need to be that much more
right.
And if not important, but you know what I mean? Like, they have to carry a little bit more if you're going to shut everything else down.
That's what I mean. And for you to say it's a C- to a B, something like that, or C to a B in a grade, and they shut everything down for a C to a B. It's like, that's tough. That's really tough. And you know why it's really tough? For people like John, for the store owners.
Well, right.
If that's like, you know, like, and that's one of the things that probably John reading them ahead of time is like, what the hell? Did they send me these books ahead of time so I could save my money to, because I'm not going to make much in January and February? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and that is, and this is, you know, I think this is what 5G was supposed to be. And now you see, maybe this is what the turnover was at DC early last year, because they were arguing within DC over whether they do this or not.
Yeah. Well, and it was like, interesting listening to Scott Snyder talk, because he mentioned, you know, he went into some good detail about, you know, this, you know, what it was like at DC when this was all going down, and everything was in flux. There was a lot of unknown. And, you know, it was funny, because when DC attended their own event.
Yeah. Right? Wasn't that nice of them? They had a big appearance there.
And, you know, Jim Lee was talking about, you know, and he had done some interviews, and they really tried to make it seem like 5G wasn't a thing. Yeah. And Scott Snyder said, no, it was very much a thing.
Right.
You know, and so I think a lot happened, you know, obviously a lot happened in the past year, and you had a lot of firings. You had a lot of good, important people fired.
I'm wondering if this is why, like, Dan DiDio's gone. Did he?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you look back and it's like, did he say, like, this isn't going to, you know, he didn't like this or whatever, or maybe the way they wanted to do it. Who knows? But it's for you to say, and I'm not seeing a lot of other people that are raving about this, you know, future state thing, saying it's the greatest thing since, you know, sliced bread. And I think you're very accurate in your score for what people are saying, and to shut down the entire industry or their side of the industry for a C or a B product, that's tough. That's new Coke type material right there. Yeah.
I mean, you know? This score could very well go up too, because I said up to this point, I've only read number ones.
Right.
And I've liked more than not, but, you know, like the ones that I've liked, only two of them have been like, oh man, I really like this. The other ones have been, okay, yeah, this is good. I mean, that's how I describe Future State so far. It's been good.
It's been good.
You know,
but you didn't need to shut everything down.
Yeah, my only
thing. But if you don't shut everything down, you probably don't sell these things as much as you are. It's like, because people have nothing else from DC to buy.
Well, that's probably the thing. You know, they're probably really excited about it, as they should be, you know, because it's a big event for them. And they probably didn't want to oversaturate. Because if you kept everything else going and this going, something was going to suffer. And I think if Future State is as it is, you know, currently constituted, and you still had everything else, these books probably don't really make it off the shelf. You know what I mean? So it's almost like we got to do it because we want the focus to be on this. We want people to read it. And talking with Nick on TLDR this week, he had read Suicide Squad, and he said this was a must read because he feels, you know, that this is the first book that he's read in Future State. And I haven't read anything that seems to have future implications. But he thinks what happens in this issue of Suicide Squad has implications for DC, you know, for the books that they're doing beyond, you know, Future State.
I want to say John said that, too. I think John had mentioned that when he had read one. There, I feel like, and he's probably swearing at me right now. I'm sure he said, like, back even December when he had already read the first versions of whatever he got, and he was like, this is one that could have implications, and we had a conversation about that. Yeah. But that's interesting. Maybe that's one I'll in May I'll be going back and picking up those two.
I circled this one to read because I'm like, you know, because when we do our big event, we really break it down and talk about all our books in more detail. I'm going to try and read a couple of the books that he read, and he's going to do the same. And this is obviously one I'm going to read, because if it's going to have implications. Now, so here's the other thing, too, and I think we talked about this before, is that I don't read much of the main line of DC. So for them shutting it down for me isn't a big deal, because I'm not reading, you know, Tynan's run on Batman. You know, I'm not reading any of these, even though I'm a big James Tynan fan. I'm not reading the main line. DC stuff that I primarily read is the Black Label stuff.
Right. And that's still going.
And so it hasn't affected me, but I get why John and the store owners, you know, are salty about this, because their livelihood is dependent upon, you know, DC puts, you know, language asses into the seats. Marvel puts, you know, asses into the seats. And so when you take that away, you know, people, well, what's this? I don't know what this is. And they might not be, you know, so inclined to grab it. And if they know that their regular Batman book or whatever isn't going to be in, it could be that that's the reason why they go into the store each week. It's because, or, you know, whatever, is that they're, I go in for this book. Oh, it's not going to be available for 2 months. Okay. I'll see you in 2 months.
Exactly.
And that's so tough. The store owner is salty, and I get why John, you know, because it is tough. And, you know, at least some other DC books have still been coming out. The Black Label stuff, American Vampire, 1973, I think, is still, you know, coming out. But that, again, that's still niche stuff. You know, the everyday DC reader might not be reading that book. So I would say that, you know, for you, you know, I would highly recommend Dark Detective, because it's one that I love, and I think that if you read the first issue and then read the second issue, you might be on board to finishing that up, but like I said, yeah. I would say most of the books I've read have been good. Some have been really great, and like Superman, War of Worlds, and Teen Titans were two I was just like, not for me, dog. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's the best you can do. And like I said, it's a shame to shut everything down, but it'll only be another month and we'll be back to normal. So
we'll
be good to go. Good to go. All right. Is that it before we wrap up and then get into some kryptonite?
Yeah, that's it for me.
All righty. That'll do it for this week. You can talk to John and I on Twitter at @brightside_chat, and you can email us on the brightsidechat@gmail.com. And Dr. Joe, where can everybody find you? You're on Twitter, and you're what, Batcracka?
I'm Batcracka. Say it like a true masshole.
There you go.
So I'm Batcracka on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. You can also find me on Facebook as part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse, where I do a podcast with Nick Fryer, Too Long Didn't Read, TLDR, where each week we each pick a book that the other person hasn't read, and we try and just get people to read stuff that they, you know, might have missed. And I do another show with a good pal, at Billy D 2411. He's also part of, I should say Nick is also part of the Change My Mind podcast that's on the Dork Shared Gooniverse. And Billy's part of Pulp Culture Piledriver. And together we do a show called I've Heard It Both Ways, which is a psych rewatch show. So currently we've done 9 episodes, we will be doing season 1, episode 10, From Earth to Starbucks, on Thursday night. 8:30. You can find that on Twitch and Facebook and Twitter. A lot of stuff, DJ.
It's almost as long as John's Real World.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun. It's fun.
Oh yeah, yeah. You're a blast to listen to. it's like, I think the old joke. I think my toaster is playing Dr. Joe now.
I'm like The Rock.
Yeah, you're like The Rock. Exactly. That's what John and I said. You're the Rock of the Dork Shared Gooniverse. You're showing up everywhere. So good for you. Good for you. Because you deserve it. You've been nipping at the heel. You've been itching to get into it for so long. You're so great to talk to. So, it's perfect medium for you.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, you know, and it's been a wild year with everything and you know, being home, I joke, I said, 90% of my conversation is with a 4-year-old. I love my daughter to death, but I need other people to talk to.
Absolutely. Hey, Dr. Joe, you've been listening to us for a while, so the bright side is rubbing off. You know, COVID hit, you have, you know, career implications, your comic book store closed. You're doing the best. You're turning all this negative into a positive. I mean, you can't ask for more than that.
You just got to keep on keeping on, you know?
There you go. There you go. So, all right. That'll do it for the show. And stick around if you've been watching WandaVision and you're caught up to episode 3. We're about to talk spoilers. But if not, that's it. And we will see. John will be back next week. Coming out of the tunnel of despair.
And, I thought it was a tunnel of love, no?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's trying to put a bright side spin on that and call it love. But so we will check you out next week. Hey, Fred. All right, Dr. Joe, I got the keys here. We're ready to lock the door. Let's talk spoilers. WandaVision episode 3. What do you want to do? You want to do bright side fashion, jump right to the end? Your choice. Dealer, your choice.
Yeah, let's just dive in, baby.
All right, dive in. The ending. What did you think of that? Like, where are they? What did that mean when you have Monica Rambeau flying out and landing on the ground like that? And this is one of those things that I kind of tease a little earlier where John and I were like, this, and you know, because this show, we've all been going along with the idea that this is all in Wanda's head, right?
Yep.
If it's in her head, where, you don't fly out of somebody's head and land on the ground.
Yes.
So that now, and this is where John and I went back and forth, where maybe, like, is she held captive a la like Truman Show inside that bubble? But to deal with being a captive, she has manipulated the environment to her liking. So it's not really in her head. And this is where John and I went back and forth, because we both were in agreement that it started out like the idea is that it's in her head. But this is where you get into like where you said like Marvel loves to do the rope-a-dope on you and really spin you around or something. And everybody's going off on the, you know, the House of M did this and she's done manipulated and she's been in her head and she's dealing with this and she's dealing with that. And I had the theory that this is a Vision situation, which I doubt now, but I still think there's a possibility. But is it possible, like, these characters, they're not in her head. These are real people.
Yeah.
And what is going on? I'll let you speak.
That's funny, because I was trying to make heads or tails of it, you know, because I was, like, just like everyone else, operating under the assumption that she's having a mental break and this is all in her head. And then that happens. So now you got to start thinking, you know, where the hell is she? Cause you get the little hints, right. Episode 2 through the radio, you know, Wanda, you know, can you hear right there? Someone's trying to get a hold of her, you know, right. Someone's trying to communicate, you know, so she's either in a self-contained thing, right? Like right. Not in her head. She's, or someone has her, right. And is keeping her captive, and you know she doesn't quite, you know, like it's a Truman Show, like you just said,
yeah,
you know, sort of thing. So, I mean, I got to imagine that that Friday's episode is gonna give us a lot, you know, and is it gonna be where the rest of the season continues to be a sitcom at each decade, or are we at a turning point here where we saw what happened what's Rambo's character's name on the show there?
Monica Rambeau?
She
doesn't have a name.
No, isn't.
You mean her, like, she's Monica Rambeau, yeah. But her name in the show, nobody knows who she is.
Isn't it Geraldine? They call her Geraldine, or am I have my characters mixed up?
I don't.
A complete brain fart.
Not sure. I don't think. Let me see. Hang on a second. Monica Rambeau. Geraldine. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, Geraldine.
It's right. Geraldine. That's right.
Right. So, you know, when you, you know, there's this great interaction that happens, you know. You know, with Agnes and Vision, like, she's in there with her alone. Like, is someone infiltrating now? Like, there's so much that could potentially be going on right now that, I mean, I feel a little clueless as to, you know, and it's where I want to be. It's where I want to be. I want to feel clueless, because it's going to make that reveal, that moment.
Welcome to my world.
That much better. But when you see her come through like that, it's weird because she's still in the sitcom clothes, right? But she appears to be in the real world.
Right.
So how is that happening? And, but you know, you get the, you know, when she mentions, you know, she, you know, all those little things, the conversation between her and Wanda starts to get suspicious of her. she made the Ultron reference.
Well, that's just it. She mentions that, and I think this is one of the things that John and I talked about, where it was like she did that to try, I believe she's trying to get Wanda to notice reality,
yeah,
to stop with this fairy tale that she's, yeah, trying to create, that she's trying to live. And what happened was Wanda was like, no, I'm not. And she kicked her out. But the thing is why is Monica trying to get her to see reality? So somebody, the rest of the characters in there, in the like Agatha, who is supposed to be from what's her name in House of M, she's the witch,
yeah,
and she's the one that's manipulating Wanda. So it's all of this is going on. Like while Monica's inside talking to Wanda at the end of the episode, the rest of the characters are out by the wall.
Yeah,
in that. And they're having that conversation, and Vision's like, what are you talking about? You know? So I think some of the townspeople are trying to manipulate her. They're actually agents manipulating Wanda for, you know, sinister reasons. But I think a character like the Doctor, for instance, he's not in on it for sinister reasons. I think he's a citizen of the actual town. That's like, we're stuck in here and you can't escape.
Yeah.
Because he's the one, remember, he wanted to go on vacation. He's trying, yeah, to get out, but he can't.
Yeah.
And he's like, and that, you have that whole can't escape type thing. So I think some of the people living in the town are literally captive because they happen to be living in this town and whoever took it over for this event. So they're captive. But then you have other people that are trying to manipulate Wanda. And then you have somebody like Monica coming in, maybe through the manhole. Like, yeah, they showed with the AIM, you know, beekeeper come up, yep, through the manhole. So you're getting all of these nuggets, but it's like, okay, so why are we doing, why are we getting these, you know, decade themes? Why is Monica doing that? How is she doing it? And then the last question, or not the last, but one of the other questions John and I were talking about, is Vision alive?
Right.
Because here's the thing. He has to be, because this is no longer all the evidence that we have as of today. This isn't in her head. Vision's, yeah, a being walking around inside of there.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that?
Well, I heard you talk about this last week and you made a good point, and it got me thinking about this is very much could be the case where we see an Endgame, you know, Shuri trying to Infinity War, trying to extract
the stone,
and yep, you know her explanations, you know, basically we can keep the best parts of him, without, he's more than just the stone, and with her trying to, you know, reconfigure everything, and we don't know if she was successful or not. It's very well possible, you know, that she was, and so I mean, when I heard you guys say that, I was like, oh, that's plausible. That makes sense. That very well could be, you know, what we're dealing with here.
Let me jump in here, because John and I talked about that again today. And we were saying, like, I said to him, I go, look, Marvel doesn't put that in Infinity War if it's not something that's going to show up later.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even just having that conversation in Infinity War, like, I might be able to do it. I got to get to work. How much time do you need? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's literally the last we heard from Shuri.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Next thing you know, Vision's out on the battlefield. So who knows what, like, did when they broke into to her lab area, had she finished? Had she not? We don't know. So you can't say he is without a doubt dead, because there's no there's evidence in both directions, or no evidence in either direction, I should, right, say, really, right? So that's why, of course, they're going to use that. They can backstory that, and that's why Vision's walking around. So, but now here's the thing. It's like, how did we get to here? When did Vision come back? If he came back, who knows? I mean, yeah, it's not a guarantee, but it's, he can't be, he's not a figment of her imagination. I don't think we're in her mind.
Well, like you said, we can't, you know, you can and you can't be, because you can't, you know, you can't kick, I mean, I don't think you can, kick someone out of your mind and have them come through, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That whole thing where she comes through that barrier, that was a very tangible thing, you know?
Right.
Whereas if we didn't have that, you still go off the assumption that it's still just all in her head. You know, it's just a dream, or it's
right.
just some sort of manifestation she's creating. Which, with this, it can be a bit of both now, right? Well, it has to be a bit of both, because what we're seeing is obviously in her head, but there's what we know now is that there's more to it,
right?
Right. We don't know. Is it sinister? Is it preventative? Right. Is this a defense thing that they're trying to do to keep everyone safe, you know, from her? Right. So it's wildly fascinating, because I didn't see that coming. And there's no coincidences with Marvel.
No.
Right. This is why the MCU has thrived for as long as it has and been so successful and been so great, is that, you know, yeah, there might be some continuity issues, you know, like timeline wise, they may, you know, screwed up a little bit here and there inadvertently, but like, you don't get the mention of Dr. Stephen Strange in Winter Soldier.
Right.
If for no reason, right. There are no coincidences. So that line was put in Infinity War for, you know, a reason. You know, they were seeing six steps ahead, you know,
now, yeah.
Unfortunately, COVID has, you know, delayed everything, but there's no doubt that when they were doing Infinity War, they had the plan for WandaVision, right? They had the plan right. for, you know, Multiverse of Madness. Even though it was announced, you know, after the fact, these things they're cooked up, you know, they're in the pot, they're being stirred, they're ready to go. So I mean, what I think it's all inevitably going to lead to is, because you see it, you know, look at the way Wanda, you know, looks, you know, certain ways she'll say things, like at certain moments, there's a break coming, you know,
I think that's what Monica Rambeau was trying to trigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the reverse. I think the people in there, I think they're trying to prevent her from doing something, and they're trying to harness her power for sinister reasons, whatever that is. But then I think somebody like, I think Monica Rambeau is in there. She's trying to get her out and get her to see the world that she's in. But we don't, that's the thing. There's so much to come. And I mean, we could be completely wrong, because from what I'm hearing, critics have seen, there's a few critics that have actually seen it all the way through. And the ones that were talking about episode 3 saying, this is the one that's going to be a game changer.
Yeah.
And of course it was. And now they're saying, when you get to episode 9, it's going to change the way you look at the entire MCU to date.
Which is exactly what I want.
And that's what they want to do.
Flip it on its head.
Here's another one I think that's going to happen by the end of this. I haven't gone back to watch it yet, but I think Age of Ultron is going to become a higher ranked movie by the end of this.
Oh,
because
well,
that's
no
where
doubt.
That's where she came from.
Yeah,
that was her birth into the MCU, and it's so. I mean, and Visions. So yeah. They both came in and here, and there's. There has to be something coming, some nuggets from that we're going to be like, oh my God, they told us back here.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
going on?
And so could they be setting up for Ultron to be, you know, another big bad, right?
What if Ultron's still around? What if, I don't know. It's
I just read Tom King's The Vision last week on TLDR. And while that doesn't.
I read play, that a while ago. I was listening to you.
Yeah, while that doesn't play into WandaVision in terms of story, you know, there's parts of that could very well be. I mean, he talks about, you know, fighting, you know, multiple, versions of Ultron throughout the years, right? Ultron just isn't a singular being that existed once and then they defeated him and that was it. You know, he's come back. He's come, right? So maybe this is setting something like that up, or...
Well, the same way Vision came back.
Yeah.
Ultron could come back because they thought, remember Jarvis? They thought he was dead, but Jarvis went and hid.
Yeah.
So why couldn't Ultron do the same thing?
Right.
So, and that's what's in, Vision, the book.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way going into WandaVision that I felt like after having read Vision a while ago, I was like, I feel like they're going to borrow from that as well, because I felt the family vibe just seeing the commercials and the way they're doing those themes. I felt like there was going to be a little, and I still feel there's a little bit of that in there.
Well, they stole the aesthetics for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if how much of that story is going to play in, but I feel like there's a little bit in there. Like I said, it's been a while since I read it, but they're borrowing from so much. And I think a lot of people, what we tend to do is we'll see something like the House of M and go, that's what it's going to be. When in actuality, what we should be saying is that's what it's not going to be.
Right.
They're going to flip it because everybody's expecting one thing and they're going to do something else.
Yeah, because that's the obvious, right? That's right. That is something that we can easily point to and say, okay, this makes sense. This seems plausible. This seems really cool if they pull it off.
And you know what else makes me nervous is, not nervous, excited really, but what I mean is they're so on the nose with House of M right now with the kids' names.
Yeah.
The twins.
Yeah.
And they're doing, and you're eating it up. You're like, this is the story. And what is she going to do? And she's going to, and I'm like, what, like to your, like you said, when do they do that 90 degree turn and just put us on our heads?
Yeah.
And be like, and I think it's going to have a completely different meaning than anything we're imagining. And I loved when I read that this is going to turn the entire MCU on its head, and you're going to look at it completely differently.
Because you're going to have to be able to enjoy the two things separately, but then also together, right? So, the Infinity Saga, right, is what it is, and it is awesome, and it's fantastic. And what they're setting up is they're trying to set up for the next 10, years or so. And they got to, with them acquiring so many more properties, the Fantastic Four, they got their hands on X-Men now. They got to find a way to reset all of that. And so this is a great way to do it. If you're going to flip the MCU on its head, do it. And now bring in the Fantastic Four. You're going to bring in the X-Men. You're going to bring in all these other properties. And you do that by starting with WandaVision. And then you really get in there with Doctor Strange, right? It's called the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
So we're going to, and then it sounds like Spider-Man is going to follow that same suit. There's going to be multiple, there's a multiverse in that movie. So this is the perfect way to do it, I think. And I want them to flip it on its head, because I want to now then have an excuse to go back and rewatch all those movies again and see how clever they really were from the onset. I mean,
that's it.
They had no idea when they first did Iron Man, but then there became a certain point where it's like, okay, we got a plan here. And I want to see, were they able to plant those seeds in Iron Man 2?
Well, all right. First off, let me get to my first point. Is I was waiting for you to finish so I could say exactly what you just said. This WandaVision thing, but from a different aspect, from a business point, this WandaVision thing is what is going to drive Disney Plus. Because like you said, it's like if they flip the MCU on its head, now you have an excuse to go back exactly like you said on Disney Plus and watch all of the entire MCU, and it creates the longevity for Disney Plus, right?
Yep.
Now, that's what I was going to say. But now your Iron Man point, I don't think they had the grand scope planned out, but they definitely had this planned out, because when they did Iron Man, there are outtakes of Nick Fury at the end talking about Spider-Man, talking about X-Men, talking about remember the end credit scene when Nick Fury says, did you think you're the only superhero, whatever he says to Tony Stark? Well, there's outtakes. Google it. It's probably, you can see them on YouTube. I've seen them. It's in one of my special editions or something, but where he actually mentions we have spiders. We have mutants or whatever. And he mentions those. So they had plans to bring all of these characters together. And that's why they started doing those end credit scenes as early as Iron Man 1. But John and I have talked about this too. I don't think they had they had no idea it was going to go like this, but they did have an idea to get to the first Avengers movie at least.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, they definitely had their plans. I can't sit here and think that they knew, you know, they like the plan for, okay, we're going to have phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. I think it was
right.
Let's see if we can get an Avengers movie and
let's get a phase.
Let's see if we can get an Avengers movie and let's see if that can, you know, right. be a global blockbuster. And I think with Fury mentioning those names in the end credit scenes, it's more or less just, you know, Nick Fury. It's a teaser, but I think it's you know, it's fairly obvious. I mean, we all know that these superheroes exist, and I always just sort of viewed it as, you know, Fury just bragging. You know, we've got without any like grand plans of, oh, we're gonna get the, you know, mutants in we're gonna get.
Well, here's the thing. I see what you're saying in that it's like, yeah, that is something Nick Fury would say, and that's why they filmed it. But no, the reason they didn't put it in is because they didn't think they couldn't get. By the time that movie came out, they couldn't be sure they were going to be able to get a Spider-Man and X-Men by contract. Well, so they purposely took it out, because if it was just, you know, just a throwaway line and they didn't have those kind of plans, they probably would have left it in. But where it's like, all right, we can't do that, so we'll just leave that out for now. But we know we can't tease that because we can't do it. They knew they couldn't have the payoff. Right. So like, that's what I mean. So I knew that like they did have plans. And I think even Kevin Feige said, it's like, we had an idea, but we didn't know it was going to, I mean, I don't even think at that time, obviously in 2008, Disney Plus wasn't even a thought. Nobody thought about streaming. So that's to get to your point of like, they have no idea this whole world was going to blow up like this whole universe. Yeah. And it's just insane. And to have, and we're the benefactors of all of this.
Yeah.
But we're also the fuel that drives it.
Yep.
The comic book fans are the most passionate fan group, and it's the group that that's the Comic Cons, you know, that's what drove all of this. It's like these people show up and they're like, this is where the money is. And I know Scorsese doesn't like to hear it, but but that's the thing.
So. Yeah. So it's absolutely wild. And I just, you know, like I said, there's nothing like WandaVision. We haven't seen anything like WandaVision, and I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait to see, you know, which direction they take it in and how it unfolds. It's a mystery, right? Yeah. I love a good mystery story. It's not just, you know, the story of, you know,
and
you
it's
know,
funny
Maximoff, but it's, yeah, you know, but those, yeah, it's like I said, you know, they're taking the role so serious. They're having so much fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, the way, you know, the inflection, you know, in the voice in which she talks, you know, it's trying to speak, you know, like, you know, people would in that time period. And Bettany's having a blast. I mean, just watching Vision, especially with him being drunk and him at the magic show.
Oh, in episode two. Yeah. He's drunk on gum.
Yeah. That cracked me up. And, but there's so many great little nuggets, and, you know, it really is, I think, setting up where Marvel's going, you know, the next 10 years. It's going to get weird, and I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Is that it?
I think that's
it. Did we cover WandaVision?
I think so.
All righty. Dr. Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been a blast. We've gone almost 2.5 hours now. We're cranking away, and it seems like, you know, it's been 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the listeners are like, come on, really? No. Yeah. If they're still listening, they're not saying that. So.
Right.
But all right, that's it for us. Thanks, Dr. Joe. We'll have you back soon.
All right. Take care.